So we can say that here is the local network still.
Yeah.
When is asterisk, it doesn't tell. It means that there are some computers that are not telling that there. Which is also interesting.
Quite suspect in this room.
And this is the first one. So this is the first exit, let's say, okay. In the internet, and we see it's Telenet.
Okay.
So
that's the Belgian ISP, is it?
They're buying everything.
Okay.
When you have when you have this number, you can actually look it up from the commoner. You have the who is, and then the autonomous system, and you get this because it's basically you are asking right. So you are asking the authority who is this number, which was what number was it? Ah, okay, 6 8.
Yeah, just
very nice.
6 8 4 8.
Okay. So we ask the RIPE database, who is 6848, and then we will see
that it's
Telenet.
Telenet, and
their address. So officially
they're in Belgium officially.
Yeah.
And that's the autonomous system. That's that particular one. And it's okay.
And of course, so it's Telenet, but it might have servers also in Amsterdam or in London.
But now we follow the server.
Yes.
So let's go to see the next one.
Yeah.
But if it has servers in Amsterdam, it still has to hop to Amsterdam.
So we could see, and then it passes on 6830. And aorta, I don't know. But we see actually
it
goes to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So I can make a small.
But we do who is. Should we get another computer to do the who is? Is that easier?
Yeah, it's nice.
So I made 2 notes. We are here. And then we go to Belgium, like what? I don't know. Summer. Yeah. And then Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So I wait.
The trace run.
So where are we going? To Zoomco JP.
That's the thing. It's pretty far because Brandy knew that it was in the servers in Japan.
Okay.
So you know that it's gonna need more hops than.
Where is Japan? Is it?
Sorry, did I took out this thing because there's too much noise. This is so nice. So this can record on 6 channels, total 3,000 pages.
Okay, so who is, what's the...
6-8, so AS-6830.
Oh, I have to take
it. Do you want to sit me with me?
What? It's fine. So it is Liberty Global in the Netherlands. They're part of the
Amsterdam Sequel.
In the airport. They're based in the airport. Yeah.
So
you have a big data center, I think.
Boeing Avenue.
Boeing Avenue.
Yeah, Boeing Avenue 53.
Not Airbus.
No. The airport.
So,
okay.
Okay, what's
and
next?
And then 6453.
I mean, you can also just call them. You don't have to
just name them. But maybe it's,
okay.
You're spotting things that I'm not spotting. So this one's weird. America.
Oh.
Boulevard in Houston,
in
Vancouver.
Is it VA? State province, VA is
Does it say company or
it's in
organization
the US.
Somewhere?
Yeah, it is Virginia.
It says Data Communications America Inc. There's this one.
Ah, Tata. Okay.
Yeah. But where is VA?
Tata Communications.
So where is it?
VA.
Vancouver.
The city is
no, but no, VA is
Virginia.
What? Virginia. Yeah, that's in the US.
It's where?
But Tata is this huge Indian company that does steel network everything.
Okay,
so
it's an Indian company with a headquarters in the US.
Or it's often like AS is not specific. Like a company can have many AS. Because maybe they want one AS in America, one AS in America. So it's not one-to-one.
But now we go with the headquarters, right? Yes. So I'm going there.
Yeah, yeah, go there.
So.
Give order.
But where is Virginia?
Virginia, I think, is in the middle or south middle?
Virginia?
Yeah.
East.
East.
Right. It's funny that we should have somehow...
I think it doesn't.
US?
I mean, somewhere
around
here.
Yeah, somewhere over there.
Because we have somehow three layers.
Southeast.
We have the... This is the path of the jurisdiction.
Yeah. What are you trying to do?
We're following a trace route.
We are mapping on three levels, like geographical, jurisdictional, and network.
Physical, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, physical.
Yeah. Not an easy task.
No, and the thing is that by the time you're done, it's probably not accurate anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these routes keep on changing constantly.
Efficiency.
It's hard to tell. It's the internet is a very dynamic thing actually, and BGP makes it dynamic.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
the border gateway protocol.
Yeah, because why is there is that you would be able to look up different routes because maybe you can pass over Tata, but you can pass over another company.
I mean, how does that get decided though on the protocol level? How does it know that it wants to go in that way or that way if it's not efficiency?
Usually, it's all efficiency, and the efficiency is calculated in hops. And so, for example, like to get some from here to there. You count how many ASs do I pass?
Yeah.
So you get like an AS path actually.
Okay.
So that's like from your AS and then through different ones.
Yeah.
And then what could happen is that I don't know for some reason the port that this line is connected to in this data center goes down because somebody tripped over the cable or somebody does something. The port goes down, and then BGP finds like the next possible hop, and the network changes. Now there is a really beautiful tool that make that you can look at the internet how it changes, but it's not working at the moment. I can't get there. RIPE has lots of statistics online, and there is a tool called BG Play.
How would you write it?
BG like border gateway and then Play.
Nice.
It's part of their statistics set, and. Because like all these data is being collected, and you can replay like how the internet changed over the last 24 hours out of a certain perspective, like seen from one network, and then you see routes shifting. It's really really cool.
We're gonna do like a frozen moment of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's still interesting to do this because we get to we're
travel.
Still wowed.
We travel.
Yeah,
it's like a
futurotopia.
We are inside the cable now.
You're a package.
Yeah. I mean, it gives us no information about. The peer, what are they called? Peer agreements? Do you know any documentation around? Do peer agreements get documented? Anywhere?
Sure. I mean, you could look it up on Whois. So.
Whois?
Yeah.
On Whois.
So for example, if you type maybe probably who is and then one of these AS numbers. So you type who is AS?
Yeah, like, we have one.
Yeah, okay.
Just that?
Enter. Uh-huh. And that should... Oh, no, you need the right route on check. Can you scroll up a little? Is there some more there?
These are the, this is another who
is another
one.
Did,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I did earlier, so this is probably the...
I haven't done that for a long time. But
so you can somehow see a peer agreement.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's the peering agreement, right?
That was on the telnet, so I guess maybe it's only for some.
Oh, I see. Some of them have it, some of them don't.
So, what
so
do
this
you see?
Means that they can send to this other AS.
Okay, export to AS any. That means like two.
Okay.
So they export their all of their routes to all these ASs, like two AS blah 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 any. And then you might find some more specific peering things eventually.
Export right? means they bring to these, they propagate their rules or whatever.
Right, to this AS.
So in a way, these AS are dependent on telnet?
No, this is just communication.
Okay.
So and here you got, you have more more specific things. So for example, you say to this AS, they only announce a certain subset, AS telnet. Like another network that they would route through their network. But it could also be a subset of their network that they export. They only export a subset of their net to this AS for a certain reason.
They don't have an agreement with what they route to the other.
It doesn't.
Person.
Yeah, it doesn't really tell you why this is happening or what's behind it. But
And are these used? Are they at the protocol level? So are they used by the protocol to know how to? Are they
right?
Figure out what the path is.
Yep.
Okay.
With the BGP.
But they happen in the pub. The agreement happens.
Some of them.
Some of them. What are the other, so pub and what are the other possibilities?
Well, it's
office.
Basically
rent.
You were involved with Mura.
Yeah.
With the routing.
Yeah, we have
process.
Our own AS. If you look up AS 39837.
Yeah. And what did you do? To which browser?
39837. Yeah. Right. That's us.
Look at the
picture. Yes.
So you can make up your own right handle if you want to.
Oh.
So
if you pay.
Yes. The procedure is you go to the database and say, I want this to be my right handle.
Well, you need to pay and have an autonomous system.
To start.
That's yeah. Okay. That's part of the. But anyone can have his or her own like personalized right handle. That's
but to have an AS
just
in general.
Your peering agreements. How did it happen?
That's easy because basically all we do is we use the university net as upstream. So we only have like one peering partner at the moment, and they take all our packets and send them over to the rest of the network.
Vienna University.
It's Vienna University, and the entity is called ACONET, ACO. Dot net.
Oh.
So
AS.
That's like, 1893, I think. But you could like the.
19.
You should find that here. It's probably up there.
Ah.
It should be somewhere here because IPv6. Ah. Oh, 1853, sorry.
Yeah. And so you went to the university and said, we have this autonomous network. We want to
right. So this entity Aquanet is basically like I think every country has its university and educational network. They're really well organized all over the world. So then they have different different top layers. Like there is Terena, and which is like a connection of all the university networks. And
is it connected with EduRom?
With what?
EduRom.
EduRom is a service EduRom. Yeah, EduRom is a service. So that's like if you are part of a university. Be it a student or faculty or whatever, then you can use your credentials, like your username and password, to access other universities' infrastructure. And that basically works everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
How many African or Asian? Asian would be okay-ish. How many African universities are part of this?
Of EduRom or the entire thing?
Yeah.
Of EduRom, I don't know, because this is
the
networks.
Because you say, yeah.
That I also don't know. I don't even know that if there is like, let's say, like an African. What do you call
probably
that?
South Africa. Probably
out
of South Africa and a little bit up to
Morocco. No, but that you could definitely look up. Like you could go to the Terena website and see who are the members, for example. And they're there for sure, but on a different level.
Can you force a route through a certain country or certain? Is there a way of saying only? Go only through places from Afrinic, for example, or something like that.
Like in this this world, it's basically you have very limited possibilities of forcing routes. What you can do is, as I said before, that AS path. Like the number of AESs are taken into consideration when somebody wants to send you packets. You can artificially increase the length of the AES path by a technique it's called prepending. So you could say, okay, I just put my own AES in there multiple times, then the path gets very long, and the other network will not take this path but a shorter one. So you can decide like okay I don't I want traffic from you over this link rather than over this link. That's possible, and you have basically not. I mean, you might be able to do something also for traffic that's going out, but usually you do what the other networks tell you. So if they tell you, okay, I want this path taken,
you can decide only the next hop,
right.
And then
and that for sure, you can only decide for the next hop.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Yep.
So we had also an interview now with somebody that's inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool.
No pub was involved, just university.
No pub was involved, no. No. Oh yeah, so how did we do that? Aquanet has a policy that they are open for like any kind of research, academic, educational, and art institution. Okay, so we hopped on the art part because we, like 20 years ago, we started a network for artists and art-related people. Okay, we had to choose like how are we going to connect our network to the internet. And back then we had like two possibilities. One was a commercial one, and the other one was the university network. And we said, nah, we go with the university network because first of all we want to test their policy, does it really work? And then we felt like more at home in like the research field compared to like some commercial provider that we would have to pay for. I mean, we also have to pay for this obviously. And that's how we ended up there. Hmm? We pay.
You paid for the peering.
No, we pay for basically for internet access. Yeah?
Ah, okay.
Because like so we pay at the moment 6,000 euro per year for nominally 4 megabits per second, but they have a very good policy that says like we can outgoing traffic, we can use whatever our interface is capable of, which is at the moment 100 megabits per second. So they will never reduce your outgoing traffic. So we pay basically for our downlink, but currently they allow 1,600% more than you pay for. So that means we roughly have 60 megabit downstream at the moment for 6,000 euro. And then in addition to that, we have to pay like the physical connection to hook up to the network. That's not part of the fee.
And where is it, the physical connection?
We're connected through the Technical University in the city of Graz. Right, TU Graz.
In an internet exchange.
That's just like they have their huge data center, and in there we have a switch and this little box that connects the fiber optics.
What do you call it?
It converts fiber optics to Ethernet. So.
And then it's a computer there, it's a server. Set up to do the routing.
There currently we have an old HP switch. That's all we have. The router is in our data center. And the router is an old Linux box. It's one of these one U pizza boxes that you could get for very little money. I think it runs on a Celeron CPU or something like that. Really, really old stuff. And that's where our BGP speaker is from.
BGP?
BGP, yeah.
Speaker.
Oh, I call it speaker, the Border Gateway Protocol software.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you use it for? What do you do with your autonomous system?
What do we do? We have a data center. We have 300 members, some 1,000 users, a couple hundred websites, email server. We run a cloud service. We have virtual machines.
It's like a cluster of everything that the internet is.
Yeah. Right. A bit of the internet, so I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, we decided that we want to be part of the internet. And be part, like, play in this game, which is really cool for us because we have our own IPv4 and IPv6 address space, and
that you pay to write.
That we pay to write. Right. That's why we are a red member.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Does TU Graz have an agreement with VM? These are two separate spaces, right? And so you have to go to TU Graz.
Basically, TU Graz is part of ARCONET. So ARCONET is the entity that connects all the universities, and we saw this AS 1853, and that comprises like all the universities. There
also
might be, sorry.
So also outside of Europe? No.
That's only Austria.
Austria.
That's only Austria, right?
So then, because it's like an entity of universities, and then another entity of universities somewhere else. They all maybe agree for Eduroam, for example, no? Or I get it wrong?
No, Eduroam is on another networking layer that's
okay.
Up here.
Yeah.
This is all about TCP/IP.
So, but then you have University of Graz, University of Vienna, University of Linz, and they all form the ARCONET together.
Right, they all form ARCONET together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically, they do two things, ARCONET. One is that they maintain a network across Austria, so they really physically connect all the universities and spend a lot of money for that. At the moment, I think they run a 10 gigabit Ethernet backbone through Austria, connecting all the universities, and that on a level of multiple redundancy. So a university hardly ever goes offline, because if something happens, the system automatically switches over and takes on.
So Akron also makes the physical infrastructure.
It doesn't make it; it rents it, but it rents it. Yeah, it rents it from Telecom, and that's why it's really expensive.
So it is.
Yeah, the telecommunication companies that run the cables.
And then what they also do is they run a so-called Internet Exchange Point in Vienna. That's called VIX, that's V-I-X, the Vienna Internet Exchange. V, not W, V, Vienna. Yeah. And so this is a point where, for example, where peering happens. So you will find basically any other Austrian autonomous system will probably be part of VIX. VIX is basically one big switch, and you rent a switch port, bring your own equipment, and then you peer with everyone else. And the cool thing is that this is traffic for free. So you don't.
Inside the Akronet.
You have Akronet here. You have, for example, Telekom Austria, but you also have the German Telekom and bigger providers. They all exchange data here.
So this, because we talk with entities here, so this is something. It's not an autonomous system, but it's a node for autonomous systems.
Right.
It's another physical entity there.
It's different than RIPE. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like autonomous system nodes, but it's a node for the autonomous systems. So it doesn't have all the rest things that autonomous systems have, but they have only the exchange.
What would be the equivalent of VIX in other countries?
Germany has various, for example. There is one called VECIX, it's V-E-C-I-X, that's a commercial internet exchange point. One of the bigger ones is Linx in London, if it still exists, L-I-N-X. Amsterdam has a really big one, it's called M-6, A-M-S-I-X. So you have them all over the place.
How do they get together? What is the history of this?
Via the regional internet registries. They have basically they have various working groups that always deal with a very specific part of the network, like DNS, for example, or routing. And there is one working group for internet exchange points.
But for example, with Murat, you don't have access to the internet exchange.
Indirectly.
You have access through Akronet.
Through Akronet.
So you're like here, Murat.
Right.
And then through Akronet you can go to the Vienna Internet Exchange, and through Vienna Internet Exchange you can go through Telekom Austria to another Internet Exchange.
And that then you see, in the trace path, because you will see that, you could see that your packets run through VIX, and then they end up, I don't know, somewhere in the Australian region. Because that's just the exchange is happening there, and then...
Like, for example, when you see Amsterdam, it's probably the Amsterdam Internet Exchange in this. Or maybe not.
That's hard to say. They have their own node. This is probably... you'd have to look up who is AS6453. That's Tata, okay, yeah.
And they have another one in London, New York.
Yeah, that's their own infrastructure. And... Otto.net, I know, is UPC.
Attenzione, prego.
Sorry, just to say that the food is ready, so we have a soup, bread, and things to spread on bread. So please,
you're welcome.
Just serve
yourself. Thank
you. I like this coloring. Somehow, to like. when with the interview coloring is a nice
yeah, we got like a practical concrete
he came also in the right point that we established our own colors.
yeah, we had the system.
That was great.
Do you feel that you are part of the internet?
Well, I'm not part of the internet, but first, actually,
I mean, as an organization,
it's nice as an organization to be part of this whole thing, and they don't really make a difference if, like, if we're a tiny organization, like we're like a tiny dot on the map somewhere. But they also deal with like British Telecom, for example, which is a little bigger than we are. But they treat us the same. There's no difference. Yeah, and they're really, I mean, right people are really nice people. They currently, So they currently have, they probably have like constant staff of something between 100 and 150 people, I think. And they're from all over the region. So you meet like, I don't know, tons of people that are really like totally deep into networking and on various levels. They do a lot of educational things, like educational in terms of for engineers that want to do routing and stuff. But they do really many, many cool things.
And is it the you know, everybody with this amount of money and this, you know, can become a an AS in a certain way. So it's really about an investment in some. There isn't any restrictions on, say, you had to present some documents to show you're not going to sell arms or I don't know or do some other, you know. Yeah.
No, that's they strictly keep out of your business. Definitely.
And if you were going to host something like Pirate Bay, or would they come and attack you?
No. There's
is the space more than the ride?
I mean, there has been a lot of discussion, especially about spam, for example, but also internet piracy, and Bribe says that's beyond the scope of what we can do. That's we don't have any measures. Not even like the membership organization that has like 7,000 members. I mean, all I can do is I can say, oh, I know the operator of this network, and maybe I drop him an email and say, there's an incredible amount of spam coming out of your network. Can you please do something? But that's about all I can do. And the rest, like if it comes to piracy, 7,000 members, you probably have 14,000 different opinions on piracy. You're not gonna get anywhere, and
so
that's
the regulation is mostly about flow.
They don't
of
regulate
packets.
Anything.
Well, they okay.
No,
well,
they don't regulate.
If you can use the autonomous system now, that's the only thing they regulate.
And then
IPs, I guess.
Yeah.
If you can have IP.
Right. They will happily accept you as a member and assign you like the resources. But it's your problem how to get like connected to the network and how to make agreements and who transports your data and stuff. That's all.
When they talk about ISPs and internet privacy, that's happening at a higher level. Mm-hmm. The idea of ISPs giving the NSA or details or something like that. That's their prerogative.
That's company policy and national law, or maybe international, but mostly it's national law actually. So we remember when they had when they started. These block lists, trying to block access to certain services like streaming services and stuff. And that was all done. Huh? Actually, I think it's still running in Austria. So what they do is, you will not get certain names on the internet resolved into IP addresses. Like Pirate Bay, for example, right? And that's national law. And most of the big internet ISPs, they comply with the law. So they will just like blacklist these in their resolvers. And that's when like the so-called the open and free name service appeared. Like Google is running a name server on the IP address 8.8.8.8 and it doesn't block anything. But that was also like, I remember that around the, what's the big square, Tahrir? Tahrir is in Istanbul. Taksim. Turkey started blocking access to certain social media, and they did that via DNS. And then people started like spraying 8888 on, so everybody knew how to get access to Twitter, circumventing the government policy. And they couldn't do anything about it. Or maybe, I mean, yeah, of course, and you can block network access to 8888, but you will find a way around it.
Keep continuously funding. Great.